I'm glad people will help the pastor out when he can't be here, aren't you? Miss him bad when he's not here. But I'm glad there's people that will take up the slack. I apologize, Brother Steve. I forgot to give you. I'm going to be in Genesis 22. I don't know how quickly you get there or how fast that works. I'm not a very technical person. Give me a compressor and a nail gun and some saws and stuff like that, and I'm good. But technically, I'm not very good at that. I just let my son do it. He can figure that out a whole lot faster than I can. So, Genesis 22. We're going to begin with verse 1. It could get so hot in here that I have to take my jacket off. Mr. Barber told me I didn't have to wear it, but most of the time I do when I'm preaching. And not all the time, but it is pretty warm. So I'll get down there. I'll get down on the floor here in a minute where it's cooler. It's hot up here. I'm so glad for God, aren't you? I've been praying since revival. I've been praying for God to work on our children. Especially my children, I've been praying for. And this morning, and not to embarrass him, so everybody don't turn around and look at him at one time because he'd get embarrassed. But my son stood for the whole time through the service this morning, tears running down his face, crying and weeping. And I want to tell you, you can't ask for anything greater. Nothing greater than the Spirit of God to touch your children. And I told him this morning, maybe God would. I told him this on the way to church. I don't remember what we was doing, and I said, "Well, maybe God's going to let you be a preacher." And I really wouldn't ask God to let him be a preacher. If that's what God wants, that's fine. But I'm not going to ask God to do that. It's not an easy road sometimes. Genesis 22. Verse 1, thank you for those that came. See, some of you just come to church here, and then there's some just came here to see me. And so I'm very humbled by that, friends of mine. And I'm certainly glad my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are here, and they came all the way from Noble. And, like, that's a long ways, but, you know, but I'm still glad they came. Imagine they drove that far to listen to this. So, you know, it's... either they forgot what it sounded like, or curiosity ate them up, something. Came to pass after these things, God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, hear my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. I want to skip over real quickly. Man, you that came to hear me, that's been coming to prayer meeting on Thursday night, y'all have heard me talk about this so many times, and I thought, Lord, they done heard this 50 times, and here I am again. But I don't question God. I don't question God about what to preach. Any of you ever preached before? You ever tried to do it on your own and what you thought? It don't work. So ain't no need to even try it. You just depend on God, and what God gives you, that's what you deliver. Romans chapter 4. Verse 19 said, and being, we're speaking again of Abraham here. And he said, being not weak in faith, considered his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. As I read about Abraham, and I know I got a bunch of papers up here, they're mostly markers, okay? I don't use a lot of notes, so I can't keep up with them. I'd lose the things, and then I'd be in trouble. As I begin to read about Abraham, and I've talked about Abraham many times, I'm astonished at Abraham. I love the story of Abraham. I love how Abraham just, God came to him one day and said, Abraham, get you up out of your country. I want you to go to a place that I will show you. And Abraham just packed up his stuff, folded his tent, packed it up on the donkey, and away they went. To a place that God showed him. And he said, I'm going to show you some land. You can walk on this land as far as you walk on it. Every bit of it that I show you, I'm going to give it to you for an inheritance. That was a promise of God. So, I like Abraham. You know, how many of us would do that? How many of us just up and move because God says, hey, you need to go to Alaska? I think somebody in here did that, didn't they, one time? You need to go to Alaska. I remember I went to Colorado one time. My brother-in-law and sister was pastoring a church in Kangen City, Colorado, and I went there. I was there the Sunday they resigned their church. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm resigning. I said, well, thanks for telling me before I came. You know, you could have told me. I'd have waited. I'd have come some other time or done something. I'd have waited for you to come back to Oklahoma. And so anyway, I was there the Sunday he resigned, and I said, what are you going to do? And he said, I don't know. He said, God spoke to me and said, go back to Oklahoma. I said, you got a church back there waiting? No. Well, he said, I don't know. God just said, go back to Oklahoma. A few weeks later, I called my mom and I said, where's Gail and Tim? She said, oh, they're up in, they went up to Gunnison. They're going to start a church in Gunnison, Colorado. So I saw him a while later and I said, you really think that'd work? That's exactly what I asked him to. I said, you told me God said go to Oklahoma, not to Gunnison, Colorado. So why do you think you can go to Gunnison and start a church if God didn't tell you to go to Gunnison? God said go to Oklahoma. That's what he meant. He's lucky he didn't get swallowed by a whale. Even though there's probably not any in Colorado, but he's lucky he didn't get swallowed up by something for not doing what God said. Abraham followed the promise of God. Now one thing, and I know y'all have heard me say this before. I hope y'all don't get bored with me today. I'm coming down there, okay? Because it's hot up here. Get this piece of paper so I remember where I'm at. One thing you need to understand is Abraham didn't have this. Abraham didn't have the book of Psalms to go to and encourage himself. Abraham couldn't go read in the book of Acts and say, man, if God did it for them, I know God will do it for me. No. All he had was the voice of God that said, go. Now we find, and every one of us know the story, and I'm not going to read it all to you for sake of time. Every one of us know how God came to Abraham, said, Sarah's going to have a son. And they laughed at God. They said, well, we're 100 years old. And I'll tell you what, I'm not even 50 years old. And I don't want no more children. One of these days we'll have grandchildren, but we ain't no hurry about that one either. But you know, we can wait a while on that. I'm not interested. And sure, at 100 years old, I wouldn't be interested. But God said, you're going to have a son. And he said, in Isaac shall thy seed be. So Abraham had a son. His son began to grow up. And the Bible said God came to him one day and said, Abraham, I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. And I want you to offer your son, your only son Isaac, as an offering upon the altar to me. If that had been me, I'd have said, God, if it's your will for me to do this, then you show me. I'd have fleeced God for 2 weeks or 2 months before I ever went. The Bible said Abraham rose early in the morning and he saddled up the donkeys and he took off and he had the fire, he had the wood, he had Isaac, and he had some servants with him. And they went on a 3-day journey before God showed Abraham where he wanted him to offer Isaac. So for 3 days he traveled, and all he could think about was, I have to offer my son because God asked me to. It wasn't that God said, you got to do it. God said, offer him up. I want you to, and Abraham knew he had to do what God asked him without reading in the book of Acts. He'd never read the story about the children, the Hebrew children who came through the fiery furnace. He never read the story about Daniel in the lion's den and how God shut their mouth. All he knew was that if you go back a couple of chapters and you read, God came to Abraham in the middle of the night. And he said, Abraham, I am going to make a covenant with you, a blood covenant with you. You're going to have a son. You shall name him Isaac. In Isaac shall thy seed be. I'm going to make of him a great nation. Kings will be born out of Isaac. That's all Abraham had to go on, was a covenant that he made with God, that if God's going to do this, then I can go offer my son Isaac, because God has already promised this is where your seed's going to be. It's a promise from God, a blood covenant that was made between Abraham and God, that God said this is the way it's going to be. And so we take Abraham up on the mountain. He finally gets Isaac tied up. Now I want to tell you, if that had been my dad, that wouldn't have been an easy task. He would have had to chase me around for a while till he caught me. And at 100 years old, I probably could have outran him. But he caught Isaac. He tied him up and he laid him on the altar and he drew back the knife to slay him. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, Abraham, Abraham, stay thy hand. I was listening the other day, and I don't listen to a lot of the radio. I don't listen to a lot of preaching. Just so happened the other day I heard a guy talking on the radio and preaching. And he said Abraham believed that if he had burnt Isaac, if he had slain him and burnt him to ashes, his faith was that God would raise Isaac up out of the ashes, because there was a blood covenant between God and Abraham that said, in Isaac shall thy seed be. Abraham said, God, and when he was doing the covenant with God, he said, how about Ishmael? And God said, I've not chosen Ishmael. I have chosen Isaac. So he had the promise of God that in Isaac shall thy seed be. No wonder. No wonder we can read. When we go to the book of Romans, and we can read that the Bible said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but he was faithful to God. He believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake, because he believed God. He believed that what he had promised. Read about him in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. In the faith chapter, you'll read about Abraham said he believed God, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Golgotha, even in the town before they got to Golgotha, there was a covenant that was paid for. There was a price that was paid. There was a promise to the people that would give themselves to God. There was a veil on the temple that was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, that went into the Holy of Holies. And Jesus said that you might enter in, that you might boldly approach the throne of grace. That's why that veil was torn apart, that I could come to Jesus, that I could come to God and ask my petitions of Him. The price was paid. Now, Martha, if I told you, you go down and pick you out a car, you don't got to worry about it. You just pick you out a car. And you knew I had the money to pay for it, and I said, I'll just pay for you a car. You need a new car, you just go pick you one out. Whatever you want, whatever you like, just go pick it out. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't run over to Shawnee Auto Mall and find the cheapest thing they had on the lot. If you knew. Yeah, that is probably a good idea. Ask me if I'm crazy. But if you knew that I had the money, if I had $75,000 cash and I handed it to you and I said, this is for a car, you go buy you a car, you probably wouldn't run down there and see if you could find you some beat up old car for $2,500. Now you might, but if I told you had to spend it on a car, if you didn't spend it on a car, you had to give it back. You know what you'd do? You'd probably go to Oklahoma City and you'd go to that car dealership, the one you like the best. You know that car that you never knew there were so many of them driving down the road until you got one, or until you wanted one, and then you're like, man, I didn't know there were so many of them cars. I did not realize there was that many even driving down the road. But once your eye gets set on that car, and that's the car you want, you know what you'd do? You'd take advantage of that. Matter of fact, you would probably take off of work tomorrow or Tuesday, and you'd run down and get that taken care of, because I gave you the money. I paid for you to have a car. I paid for you to make that trip. You don't have to worry about a payment on it. You don't have to worry about anything else. Oh, and you probably have enough money left to pay the excise tax and the tag. And you just go and it'd be free, all yours. Only thing you'd have to do is buy insurance. But it would all be yours. You know what? You wouldn't mess around. You'd jump and you'd say, nah, Rodney, just wait till next month. Wait till next year. Wait till I get all this other stuff done. Then,
then I'll take that money and go buy me a car. You wouldn't either. You'd jump right on it. You'd grab it out of my hand just about. You wouldn't even stay and listen to me today. You'd already been gone to Oklahoma City looking, even though they're closed. You know why? Because it's paid for. You can do nothing about it but go get it. There was a price paid for us. 39 stripes laid upon his back. That is a promise for the healing of his people, the healing of us. And all we have to do is take advantage of it. 39 stripes laid upon his back. Sorry, I have to drink so much. My throat's dry. I think it's all that coffee I drank today. I had to drink all that to stay awake today. We got home about 3 o'clock this morning. And the alarm went off at 6:30. In case you didn't notice, there ain't much time between there to sleep. He paid the price. You have to do nothing but accept it. You have to do nothing but accept it. I got word the other day, a painter friend of mine, I can't say nothing to him about it because he don't know I know it yet. Found out he's got pancreatic cancer. Pancreas cancer, Now, I'm not real smart. I'm not the smartest person in the world. You probably figured that out real fast listening to me. I'm not the brightest bulb in Lowe's. You know? I'm just not. But now one thing I do know. For some reason, when people go to the doctor and they hear that word cancer, I've never been there. I've never, as far as I can remember off the top of my head, I don't know that I've ever sat at the doctor with anyone when the doctor came in and said, you have cancer. I've never been there. But that has to be the most hopeless feeling in the world. Because there's no cure. There is a way to push it off. There's things they can do, and sometimes it will kill it. And there's people that are cancer free after all their treatments and all that. And I'm not against any of that. Please don't take me wrong. But you know what this guy's doing? He's selling his boat. He's got his place on Lake Eufaula up for sale. He's trying to get his business set up for a couple of the guys that work for him to take over. And my thinking is, this man has no hope. You was talking about hope while y'all talked about in class this morning. This man has no hope. Here I sit. Okay, I'm going to go deep. Sometimes my wife thinks I'm crazy when I preach. But that's all right. I talked to my former pastor this week, and he said I was good. He said I was all right. He said I could just take it off the deep end, because that's what the Bible is. In this, I hold the answer to cancer. In this, I hold the cancer to any sin. There's only one sin that is unforgivable, and that's the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And probably 90% of us don't even know what that is, much less could we do it. In this holds the answer to your financial problems. In this is the answer to marriage problems. In this is the answer to your children being what they need to be. And Jesus said, I go away Now y'all following me? Am I falling off the log yet? Steve, have I fallen off the log yet? I'm still good? All right. You just give me that signal if I'm falling off the log and I'll try to get back on it. But I'm going to stay with the Bible, okay? Jesus said, I go away. But if I go away, I will send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And he shall lead you and guide you into all truth. If there is ever a day and ever a time that we need to be full of the power of the Holy Ghost, it's now. It's now. Well, I believe I got this right. I can't remember now. My memory don't last very long either, in case you want to know. That happens when you get, y'all know, a lot of you's older. It happens, don't it, Tim? He always gave him a bad time about being older than me. He's done went over the hill. But I can't say much in here, can I? I better wait till we're in a younger crowd. See, now I lost my whole train of thought. You ever do that? I know what I was going to tell you. We sat in service here on a Sunday morning, I believe it was. Message was given out in tongues, and there was an interpretation. And my son looked at my wife and he said, "What was that? Why are they talking like that?" I knew right then, Rodney, you better buckle it down. You better start seeking God, or our children are not going to know what a move of the Holy Ghost is when it moves among us. I didn't blame nobody else. I didn't point my finger and tell my wife, you better do what you're supposed to do. I didn't do that. I didn't go back to my mother-in-law and say, now listen here, Grandma. You better pray. No, I didn't. I walked right in front of the mirror and pointed my bony little finger in my own face. And I said, you better get on your knees and you better start seeking God, that we have a genuine move of the power of God, or our children are not going to know where to turn. Our world is not going to know where to turn. They've got so many problems now. They don't have a hope in this life. We are the hope of this world. And if we don't show them, there is a genuine move of God and a healing of the power of God, miracles still happen. I told you, y'all think I'm crazy. Steve, you ain't give me no signals yet, have you? All right. The promises of God, what are they? Can anybody tell me? What are they? What are they, Mom? Yea and amen. That means so be it. That's the way it is. Whether you like it or not, the promises of God are yea and amen. It does not change for you or you or you. It's the same for every one of us. The Word of God is the truth. It will live on. And I want to tell you, I want to be a part. I don't want to be a part. I'm going to be right in the middle of a move of God that shows this country and shows this town that there is still a great big God in heaven. There is still a moving. There is still a fire of the Holy Ghost that burns inside of us. Tomorrow I may be preaching to myself. Tomorrow I may have to just stay home. May not nobody else ever let me. But I want to tell you what, and I don't believe that's going to happen here. I think I know the pastor well enough to know he will back me up on what I'm preaching. But Oh man, I lost his name there. Went to the state of California. They wanted him to come preach a revival. He got out there and began to preach. And the first night he preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He came back the next night and the doors were padlocked with a note from the pastor that said, "We ain't preaching that here. It's not going to happen in this church." So somebody in the church said, "Come over to our house. We'll have prayer meeting." And from that prayer meeting in the state of California, moved down to, I believe it's 312 or 213 Azusa Street. One of the greatest revivals history will tell us about, when they found out about the moving of the Holy Ghost. But you know what it took? It took people that will believe God. It took people that put their faith in God and said, "I want to move of the Holy Ghost. I don't want my son to ever be scared when the Holy Ghost begins to move. I don't want my son to ever question if the Holy Ghost begins to move and people begin to get healed." And people, we are Pentecost. We are Pentecost. Or maybe I need to tell you, I am Pentecost. I believe it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I am Pentecost. I believe it. I believe it just like it said it happened. God made a covenant with us. This word is just as good as it was to Abraham. And Abraham didn't have all this to read. Abraham was this. All he had was God said, "I'm going to make a covenant with you." And I don't even think he had it written down. All he had was it. God told him, "I'm going to make a blood covenant with you. This is what I want you to do. This is what's going to be the blood covenant between me and you." And God told him exactly what to do. And he said, "I will give you this land. I will make Isaac your seed. I will make you a man of great nations." And he made that covenant with God. And Abraham kept his end of the deal so much that it did not matter what God asked him. He said, "I'll do it because God has made me this promise and he will stand true on his word." Me and my wife talked about this when we was going to Tennessee. And I told her, I said, "I know you. I know my wife very well. I could right now walk over there and I know exactly what to say to just make her mad as ever. You know why? Because I know her. I know when to keep my mouth shut. And she does the same. She knows what not to say to me. She knows those things. She knows not to ever hang up the phone on me." Isn't that right, Tim? You remember that? And she didn't even hang up the phone on me one day. The phone got cut off. And I thought she hung up on me. And this has been a long time ago, okay? But she learned that day, don't ever hang up the phone on me. Because it does not go over good. I sound really mean, don't I? I'm not. You know what I can do? I can go to the store. I can go to Dillard's right now. I've done it. Okay? Now, don't think I'm crazy. Okay? If you don't do it, that's fine, Hubert. I could go to the store. I could go to Dillard's and walk through Dillard's. I could buy my wife a dress. And I could bring it home. And she'd like it. You know why? Because I know my wife. I know her. I could call her up and say, "Listen, I'd really like spaghetti for dinner tonight. She makes good spaghetti." I could say, "I'd really like spaghetti for dinner." And you know what she'd say? "Okay. even if she had to go to the store. Unless just something bad was happening and she couldn't. Or she was already mad at me. Something. She'd say, okay. And she'd go to Homeland or Walmart or wherever. And she'd get the stuff and make me spaghetti. I know my wife. I know what she likes. I know what she don't like. I know about her. I know what she likes to wear. I know what she don't like to wear. I know her. And I believe it was Daniel that wrote, said the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Y'all, am I clear as mud today? Peter and John walked to the temple at the hour of prayer. They did not say a long prayer for this man. Matter of fact, I don't even read that they asked God to heal that man. They were full of the Holy Ghost. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. They grabbed him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. And immediately, you know why? They knew their God. They knew the promises of God. They knew what God said he would do. And they knew they could put him to the test because God would stand behind his promises. The people that do know their God. How well do you know God? How much confidence do you have in God? How much faith do you have in God? Now, I'm preaching to myself, okay? How much faith do you have in God? Those things that God had promised you? Abraham never saw... I know, I need to hurry up. How long have I preached? I don't even know. If I already run everything out back there? Battery's going dead and everything. Abraham never saw his family possess the promised land. But the Bible said these all died in faith, not having yet received the promise, but saw it afar off and embraced it. But there was some things Abraham did see because God promised. And if God said it, it's as good as going to the bank. Probably better than the bank. Better than the bank. It's like gold. It's like having your car full of gold bars. It's solid. It's concrete. You can build on it. You can bank on it. You can trust it if God said it. Amen? All right. I've preached to you long enough. Make sure I got all my stuff up here. Stand with me if you will.